Again, I just want to welcome you here, especially visitors. Just welcome you here this morning, and trust that when you leave here, that you would, instead of thinking of these speakers in front of you as being some great speaker, that you could just, that your minds and hearts can be drawn closer to the Lord, and through that, that your relationship with God can grow, and that you can share that with others wherever you go, wherever you come from. And that's what we're here for, is to glorify God, to glorify the Lord. This morning, I'd like to preach a message on a transformed life. Transformed life. I'm speaking to those who are transformed as well as those who are not transformed, presenting it as something to go for. If you have not experienced God's transforming power in your life, that you would open your heart to that. And if you have, to continue to walk in that. You know, it doesn't just happen that we're born again and on July 17 of 1999 or 1986 or whenever that was, and we're just, everything just has coasted since. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. But a transformed life, displaying the life of God and the glory of God. Turn to Romans chapter 12. While you're turning there, I have some object lessons that I'd like to get ready. Not a very good artist, so I print out my stuff here. Hopefully that'll give you a little bit of an idea of a transformed life, or an example of a transformed life. And I know we as a family have been experiencing the fun of watching little butterflies, or little butterflies, caterpillars, crawl around on leaves and then go from that into the pupa stage and the chrysalis and then into a butterfly. And the marvelous things that happen, I don't understand. I still marvel. I mean, I think it was Friday morning, we had a whole bunch of them that got ready to hatch out of their cocoon or their chrysalis. It wasn't all at the same moment exactly, but within hours, probably 4 hours or so, we had about 10 of them just bursting forth from their little green chrysalis to a butterfly. A marvelous thing, when they go into this chrysalis, they're just a worm, and something happens in there. I don't know what all happens, because we even had the interesting experience of when we were doing this, we had these little jars on our windowsill, and they would go on top of the jar, and they'd spin their little, or tie themselves up there, and one of them, while they're making this little chrysalis here, they wiggle and they squirm and they make all kinds of motions from this to this. From your hanging J-hook type of a worm, they hang like this for about 24 hours, close to it, give and take a little bit. And then, but from in the last, oh, I don't know, it takes about a minute or so, maybe. I'm not quite sure how long it is. Something like that. Often we would miss it when they would do it. If we didn't catch it just right from this point to this, you'd miss it. But they wiggle and they squirm and they whatever. And one of them evidently didn't tie himself good enough to the ceiling. And he dropped when he was halfway through his wiggling motions. Dropped to the ground and I was like, or to the from the top of the jar to the bottom of the jar. I saw it right soon after it happened. He was still wiggling. And I thought, well, maybe we could tie him up to the ceiling, whatever. While I was talking about it, I accidentally left him fall out of my hand down to the floor, and it was just splat. That's all it was. It was just a splat. It was just goo. It was that was all, you know, very little. And but to think of that, that's just goo, and it turns into a beautiful butterfly. I don't understand it. You're talking about some of the marvelous things of God's creation? I don't understand it. Yeah. A transformed life. That's also how marvelous it is when God gets a hold of a person that is bent to do his own thing. He's cursing God. He's going his own way. And God changes them. Changes the heart. A new desire. Completely different. A transformed life. There in Romans chapter 12, I expect you're there already. Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1 there, 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be... that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This morning we'd like to look at that. We'd like to look at that a little deeper. What does it mean to be transformed into the image of Christ and to live a transformed life? A transformed life. Point number one I'd like to make is there needs to be repentance and brokenness. There has to be, in order for us to be transformed, there has to be repentance and brokenness. And I believe it's the prelude to the transformation. If we want to transform life, the first point is we have to be repentant. We have to be there has to be repentance and brokenness. It has to be there. If it's not there, we'll talk about that hopefully maybe some more here. It won't produce the butterfly. It won't produce a transformed life. By the way, can anybody tell me what this is? You children. What is this? Huh? Or what do you guess it is? Zachary, you have any idea? What do you think it is? Anybody else?
Bunch of goo.
Bunch of goo? Okay. Like the green goo that I was talking about? Okay. Good guess. Anybody else? What do you guess it is?
Butterfly
in the making? Okay. Good guess. We'll talk about that some more then later. Those are good guesses. What I think happens
or has to happen. So this caterpillar, he eats these leaves, these little, the milkweed, I think, I'm not sure if there's a, I don't know the scientific name, but what we would call the milkweed plant, when you, the way I can often tell, they have like a broad leaf, it's a nice big leaf, but if you break them off, a milky white substance comes out of it. And that's how I can right away tell. I mean, I can generally tell otherwise, but if I'm a little bit in question, I just break off a little bit right by the stem, and that milky stuff just comes out, the milkweed. So that's their food. That's their appetite. That's what they love to feast on. They're down on the ground, or they're crawling on these things. They have to eat this milkweed plant. And the little bit that I've tasted, it tastes kind of bitter, the milky stuff. I would just lick my fingers every once in a while when I, not that I was trying to taste, but just got a little bit on my finger and my mouth. Not really good stuff. It's down on this earth. And I think that represents what our old life. That represents our old sinful nature. That we go after the things of this world. We go after things that we're crawling on and we tell you what, those caterpillars have an appetite like you wouldn't believe. I mean, those things eat and eat and eat and eat. And they grow so fast that they shed their outer layer multiple times through the time of being a caterpillar. From a wee little, I didn't even take it from the early stages. There's a little egg, a tiny egg. One time the children brought a tiny, tiny, tiny little worm that had just, a tiny little caterpillar that had just hatched. I mean, it was so tiny. Probably, I would say, about an eighth to 3/16 inch long. Very, very, very tiny. And but it grew big, and it shed its skin and whatever. But just tremendous appetite, an appetite for that milkweed plant. And that's all they can think about. That's all they can eat is just that. And humanity, all we can think about is satisfying the flesh, satisfying our old self. We just have to. We've got to satisfy this thing, and we do things to do that. We do things to protect that, those desires, the old sinful life. Some of the things that we have, that you and I have been involved in, cursing maybe, swearing, cheating, stealing. Maybe we flew off the handle. Maybe we're flying off the handle. If we're still doing those things, those are works of the old man. Those are things that this caterpillar does, so to speak, in this example. When we live in our old sinful nature, those things, those are some of the fruits of that, flying off the handle. Maybe we are lusting for, maybe we're lusting in a essential way, fornication, adultery, those things are going through our minds. Our hearts are not pure. Maybe we are flirting with boys. Maybe we're flirting with girls. Maybe we're doing those. Maybe that's where we find ourselves, like the caterpillar. Those are works of the flesh. Those are works. Those are the appetites. Just drive, man. Humanity is just driven by those appetites. They've got, and it's not satisfying. They have it once, and they have to have more. They always just have to have more. It's never satisfying, just like that caterpillar, and keeps on going on. like it says in Romans, it says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed." So maybe, Maybe we need to change some things. Remember, I said one needs to be repentance. It has to be repentance. But maybe we need to change some things. The caterpillar is thinking. If you just think through the caterpillar's mind for a little bit, if we just imagine some things, you know, he's seen some butterflies fly around. He's seen some butterflies. And he thinks there might be a relation there somehow. Maybe. I'm just imagining. Maybe if we would conform, maybe if we would change some things, we could be like the butterfly. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes humanity has done that. They have tried to conform. They have tried to reform their life, but nothing has changed really inside. And we can change the outside. I really believe there's many people that do it with a deep, deep sincerity. They do it because they're guilty. They do it because they know there's a need in their life. They do it because they know something isn't right. Something isn't right in my heart. And so we don't want to go through the pain of repentance. We don't really want to turn away from those appetites. We don't want to let go of those worldly desires, because that'd be very insecure, bring a lot of insecurity to us. It would maybe, whatever it might be, I no longer could enjoy those green, leafy, juicy milkweed. I could no longer enjoy that. So let's just reform ourselves. Let's just reform ourselves and make ourselves look at least like we're going through the process of becoming a butterfly. We're at least going to look like it. We're at least going to look like it. We're going to conform. We're going to reform ourselves. There's a difference between reformation, and transformation. There's a difference. There's a difference between reformation and transformation. We still want that old life, but we want to put on the same clothes that is accepted by the church. We want to reform our life by stopping saying those bad words. We muster up enough courage and we stop saying those bad words, and we stop maybe even, we try to stop looking at the pornography, and we try to stop looking at things that we shouldn't look at. We try to stop maybe making friends with the people that we're making friends with, but it's in our own strength. It's a reformation, and it's not genuine. If we want transformation, there has to be repentance and brokenness. There has to be repentance and brokenness if we want to really be transformed into the image of God. I think I should probably tell you, this isn't a chrysalis. This is fake. It's not real. Okay? I did it on purpose. I mean, I wanted it to be an object lesson, but it also works in that way. It's fake. If you'd come closer, you'd see that it's fake, probably. If you look at it, you'd see it's fake. It's actually just fish liver oil pills, like those, you know, whatever. Fish liver oils. You can get the gel, the kind of gel pill. That's all. If I would poke a needle in there, squeeze, oil would come out. You could drink it and you'd be probably just fine. But it's not a caterpillar. It's not in chrysalis. It's not a pupa. It's not. It's fake. It's painted. I painted it. I glued it on there. I did it myself. We can do the same thing with our spiritual life. We can put all kinds of effort in to make people think that we're changed or that we're changing. But what's happening inside? What's happening? Have we come to the Lord in repentance? If there isn't true brokenness and repentance, we're not going to experience the transformed life. And brokenness and repentance, some of the things that lead up to that, we need to be sorry and sick of our life. We don't want to continue eating the garbage of this world. We don't want to continue feeding our minds with the things that we used to think of, because we know the fruit, the end of its death. We know that is. Maybe we haven't experienced eternal death yet, but we know that's where it's leading us to. And so we want to change, and we're sick and tired of it. That's where repentance comes in. Turn away from those things. Repentance means turning away from. Repentance means that we're done with that old life. We're done with those old friends that tear us down. We're done with that, not in just a way of reformation, but we want God's help. Like you mentioned, Brother Mark, this morning, we're poor and needy, and we're thirsty. The old man needs to die. Repentance and brokenness has to be there. The old man needs to die. Let's go to Luke chapter 15 as a good example of that. Just quickly here. This is still talking about repentance. This is all in preparation of a transformed life. And I think it's just tremendously important for you and I to grasp a hold of this fact, because we, I think, as Anabaptist people, we too much just want to reform our life. Because it's too painful to go all the way. It's too painful. If the Bible says that I shouldn't make friends with the ungodly, it's too painful. So we just compromise. And we just reform. Repentance has to be there. And that's why I'm emphasizing that. Because I think it is core. That it was a core element, a core foundation that we have to come to. We have to repent of our old ways. Here in Luke chapter 15, verse 11 there. Jesus is giving a parable there. It says, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided to him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living, just like that caterpillar eating away. And when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's house have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put the ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Then he goes on and talks about the struggle that was there between the older son and the younger. I think we'll skip over that. But here this son, he had eaten all his living. He had his dad had given him everything that was owed to him. He was like, give me everything that life has to offer. Just give it all to me. And he went and he lived it up. He went and he poured himself into that kind of a lifestyle. But he came to a place where he realized, you know what? It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't meet the deep longings of my heart. It doesn't And I believe it was the Holy Spirit, or that's how it is in our life. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, and he speaks softly to us, and he says, you know what? The life that you're living isn't fulfilling. The life that you're living is empty. The life that you're living in the end is going to bring forth death. It's going to bring forth death. The Holy Spirit brings those convicting thoughts into our mind. And also the Holy Spirit says, what you're doing is wrong. And it's displeasing to God. And he puts that longing within our heart to have something better. And in my Father's house, they have much to eat. They have everything. They can fly above this world, but I can't. That's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction. This son, he then was like, you know what? I'm just going to go home, and I don't care where. God, where I don't care where my Father puts me. I'm just willing to be a servant. I don't care if it's cleaning the pig pen. I don't care what for servant position he gives me. I'm not worthy to be called his son anymore. When we come to that place, recognizing our need for God that desperately, we too can be received in, just like this son was. That's a picture of brokenness. It's a picture of saying, you know what? God owes me nothing. The only thing I deserve is death. That's the only thing I deserve is death. And he left those pigs behind. He left those things. He could have just kept on bemoaning his situation. He could have just stayed there in the pig pen and kept on weeping over the thing. He could have even maybe eaten. Like he said, he was longing for those husks and the pig food that this man that he was working for gave him. He could have done that. He could have stayed there. And you know what? Today, we can stay right there. We can stay right there and eat that pig food. We can eat that, stay in that condition of just fulfilling the lusts and the desires of our heart. And stay empty and continue to be longing. But I'd like to lift up to us today, there's more for you. There's more for you if you will only turn your heart and life to the Lord. There's a transformed life that God wants you to experience and wants you to live. True repentance produces a change. Next, number two, I believe there needs to be confession. Confession of sin. We notice that in the prodigal son here. He said, I've sinned. I've sinned. I'm guilty. I've sinned. I've done wrong. And that's the same thing we can experience. And even for those of us that have experienced transformation in our life, when there's sin in our life, like it says another place, it says, as ye have received the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him. I believe there are times when we have to again repent where we've done wrong. We need to again repent of those things, of things that the Lord brings to our attention. We should not be living in a life of defeat or a life of sin. That doesn't mean like the butterfly, he comes down to this earth every once in a while and he eats, but he eats off the flowers instead of that same food that he had. But he comes down to earth, and then I don't know if this would be the same, but he maybe repents again and takes off and goes, I don't know that I would call it repenting. His food is different. That example is kind of poor, but there are times when we need to also repent of things that we... need to, even those that have a transformed life. So confession of sin is important. Confession, I believe it's important for us. I know we've just been also looking at repent or confession in light of confessing the Lord Jesus as our Savior. I think that's also important, but I specifically am talking about confession of sin. I think part of the transformation that God, or to in order for God, for that transformation to really happen, there has to also be a reckoning of where we have done wrong and owning up to it. And maybe telling Dad, maybe telling Mom, maybe telling the church sometimes, maybe tell whoever it is that we have wronged, that we confess those things. I'm not going to turn to this for the sake of time, but if you think about Judas, a man, or if confession is of sin is to man alone, it leads to death. Think about that a little bit. If confession is to man alone, to humanity, if you confess your sin to man alone, to some person in this life only, it leads to death. Look at the life of Judas, for instance. He came in when he had sinned. If you remember the story there, he had gone to the Pharisees. He had made arrangements that he was going to have 30 pieces of, I think it was 30 pieces of silver that he was going to get if he would betray Jesus. And he did it. He did it. But afterward, he realized that he had done wrong. He had done wrong. And I don't think there was actually any repentance, but there was definitely some confession that happened. But it was confession to humanity, to mankind alone. It was to the Pharisees there. He went back into the temple there and he said, I can't hand this. I can't have this money. This is he's a just man. And they were like, so what? You see to it. And he threw it to the ground. He confessed to humanity. But what did he do? He left that place and he hung himself. He killed himself. Confession alone, confessing your sin to man will not bring change, or that alone will not bring change to your life and will not equal a transformed life. Like if we look at Peter's life then in that same night, when he had betrayed our Lord, he was convicted. He also repented with godly sorrow, and it brought life. Of course, later on, he confessed those things to others as well. But he, first of all, confessed it to God. And I think I don't think it has to be in that order necessarily, but you need to confess to God. As well, we need to confess to God that we have done wrong. We've done Him wrong. Maybe we have done a person wrong as well. And it's good, maybe you would say you haven't done somebody wrong. You only did God wrong. I think it's still important to confess that to some human being as well, to someone that you are under authority with there. And the reason I think so is if you go to Proverbs 23, verse 13, I think there it talks about that if you cover sin, you won't prosper. And that's so true. If you hide sin in your life, you're not going to prosper. You're not going to find victory in your life. Also, David says, if I regard iniquity, the Lord shall not hear me. You know, we need to confess those things. We need to bring those things out. Unconfessed sin will keep us from prospering. After that, I believe it needs to be some restitution. There needs to be some restitution. My mind's going blank here. How to spell that? Restitution. We need to have some restitution has to be there. Let's go to Luke chapter 19. A very good example for us of where restitution is. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, starting there. This is the story of Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little in stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest, to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by a false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." Here, Zacchaeus, he recognized his sin, he repented, and part of that repentance, he confessed, of course. I don't know what all happened there with Jesus and so forth, what all that conversation came to. But somehow he had an urge in his heart that he needs to make things right. You know, I need to go back and make things right. There has to be restitution. If we want to go all the way through, and this is a place where many, many people, they're sick of their old life. They want something different. And they start down the right road. They maybe have some confession, and they have some repentance, and they have some confession. But when it comes to restitution, you mean I have to pay that back? You mean I have to go and tell that person I'm sorry that I cheated them? Maybe cheated them, husbands and wives cheating each other? You mean I have to, I know there's some billboard calls that Cam has received already that way, that you mean I have to tell my wife that I was unfaithful to her? And suddenly the price is too hard. It's too hard. It costs too much. The Lord knows where those things are in each one of our heart. I would just like to encourage us, let's give all those things to God and ask for God's grace and God's help. I know in my own experience, when I was a real little boy, I didn't try to steal, but I took a ball out of a little convenience store close to our home place when I was really little, and I had stuck it in my pocket and wasn't planning on stealing. My mom and dad were with me, but when I got out to the buggy, I suddenly realized that I had a ball in my pocket and it wasn't paid for. But I didn't tell anybody for years on end. When I gave my heart to the Lord, that was one thing that the Lord said, go back. Go back and make that right. Go back and make that right. And this was years later. The owner, I think the previous owner, the dad, I don't know if he had passed away or whatever. I went into that store and they had totally changed the store, and I went in there and I felt like an oddball, really weird. You know how the devil wants to make those things seem really big. Restitution is hard sometimes. The devil makes it look hard. I just confessed. I just told them what I did. And this is what I did. And of course they were like, that's nothing. It was much easier than what the devil made it look like. And that's how I found over and over and over and over in my life things that I've had to make right Yes, right. When you look at them and you haven't done it yet, the devil wants to make it look so huge. But I'd just like to encourage you, it's worth it. If you don't go through and seek restitution, paying back where you've wronged somebody, whatever that may be, confessing, making some for, I don't know how to say it, some for, I mean, I know some things you can't pay for because maybe you have, you maybe in your carelessness, you hurt somebody in such a way that they are forever, or for the rest of their life, they're maybe lame. They can't have a normal life because of your carelessness and because of what you did even, maybe sowing your wild oats, so to speak. You can't repay some of those things, but we need to do what we can do. We need to do what we can do to make things right. There needs to be restitution. Like Zacchaeus, Jesus told him, this day is salvation come to your house. You're willing to own up and say, you know, it's my fault. You're willing to accept the responsibility of the sin that you've committed. You're willing to accept that. And I think a key thing in restitution is true restitution goes beyond what you're required to do. Just what you have to do. You go beyond that. And you at least don't just barely. You know, sometimes our children perhaps, or sometimes we do this maybe. When we're told to do something, we just so we get inside the line of where we obey. But true restitution, when we truly are trying to seek restitution, I believe it goes further than that. I really believe it does. The next one I have is transformation. So we have repentance, confession, restitution, and then we finally have transformation. A transformed life. It transformed life. And like I said, it's truly a marvelous, it's a miracle for God to take a person. Well, first of all, it's a miracle for God to take a caterpillar to let them go through that whole thing. They hang there for almost 24 hours. And the first signs you see of change, then you don't see any change. They're stuck up with their tail and back end here. You don't see any change here hardly for almost 24 hours. And then just before this whole chrysalis thing happens, these antenna wilt. Suddenly there's no more life there. The old man is dying or something. I don't know what all happens inside of those things. And then the chrysalis. And what happens inside there is it truly a marvelous thing. It's amazing. And I don't understand it. The same thing is true when we find ourselves, our life is dirty, our life is filthy. Our minds are just always thinking bad thoughts and we can't help ourselves. When we find ourselves there, and then when God gets a hold of our life and transforms our heart, that we're no longer bound by that. We no longer have to feed ourselves with those filthy things. But we're changed. We now have new desires. We now have desires for things that are right. We desire to find fellowship with those that love the Lord instead of those that are just out there to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We go and we find friends like that. Here's a quote that I thought I'd read. I thought it went, it better explained some of these things than I find words to say. And it's a quote from a book TGS International, or Christian Aid, puts out. It's one of their biblical discipleship course series, New Life and Morality is the book. Quoting from that, it says, "It is important not to confuse transformation with reformation. Transformation is a miraculous act of God in which He renews the inner heart of a repentant person by placing His spirit and nature into his life. Reformation, catch this, reformation, on the other hand, is a human attempt." It's something we're attempting ourselves to do. "Is a human attempt to rearrange one's lifestyle in hopes of relieving a guilty conscience and finding religious satisfaction. A person can live a decent moral life without being spiritually transformed." Let's get that. A person can live a decent moral life without being spiritually transformed. But our own human goodness is so insufficient to meet God's standard, the scripture refers to it as filthy rags. A moral life without transformation does not glorify God, and it cannot save us or secure eternal life. End of quote. Where did we find ourselves this morning? Where do we find ourselves? Are we transformed, or are we reforming our life? A transformed life, a reformed life, a reformed life will struggle with these truths, will struggle when dad says, "Son, I want you to be home by 9:30 tonight. The other youth, the other people, maybe whatever, maybe we'd just like to go and do some fun thing." Or maybe dad says, "No, you can't go fishing with that the other family, with the other young boy." Dad says, "No, you can't do that." The reformed life will struggle with things like that and be like, "It's so hard." And you know that you can't respond back to dad because, you know, you need to honor dad. "I need to honor dad. Oh, life is so hard." But a transformed life, yeah, son may also come and say, "Dad, could I go fishing with so-and-so? They're going fishing. Could I go along fishing?" But a transformed life, when dad says no, "Okay, dad, thank you." It's not saying that it's easy for a son to accept that. No. But he's submitting himself to God Almighty. And he realizes, for some reason, dad says no. He doesn't understand the reasons why. He doesn't understand those things at the moment. But he does what he knows he should do, and that is submitting himself to his dad. He listens. And a transformed heart and a transformed life, something happens inside that chrysalis of not knowing what the future holds. God is working in that person's life. God is working in their heart and their life. I've seen that, for example, in my son Sean. The first year he would have been capable of going to Bible school. The first year that he was allowed, that he would have been old enough, I say capable, he would have been, of course, capable. But I think it was when he turned 18 or 16, I forget which year it was, that the Bible school that was the, I would say the in thing at the time, or one of the places to go, he came to me and he asked, you know, what do I think? I was like, son, it's a little hard question for me. It's a little bit, it's not so easy for me to know exactly what to say. But I said, I forget exactly all the conversation, but I know I told him I would just feel better if we just wait. Just wait 1 year. Just wait 1 year. Just wait 1 year. I said, not saying that you couldn't learn, not saying that you couldn't whatever, you couldn't grow by that, but I think, I really think if you follow the Lord, you're passionate about following the Lord, regardless whether you go or don't go isn't so much the issue. If you're passionate about following the Lord and you follow the Lord and you just submit yourself to the idea that you're not going to go, I believe you're going to be more mature next year and more ready for it than you would be if you just go. At the moment, I don't think it was just the easiest thing for him to accept. But he did. He accepted that. He chose to accept that. He did it willingly too. I didn't chafe with him. He didn't strive with me. But I think something happened inside his heart. That's an example of what happens. When we let the Spirit of God. When we let him work, when everything else is quiet, when everything else is, when I say everything else is quiet, we don't have any great thus saith the Lord's in our life. You know, we're wondering, where is God anyway? You know, I repented, I confessed, I made things right, and now what does life hold for me? I don't know. But I believe true transformation happens when we find that rest in the Lord. We find that rest in the Lord. And we allow the Lord to just work in our life. Other people may be hurrying and scurrying this way and that way. But we're waiting on the Lord. Of course, I think a big part of transformation is you must be born again. You need to be born again. Of course, that's what we've been talking about. I know we didn't actually use those terms. If you go to John chapter 3, Jesus gives the explanation to Nicodemus. Talks about in verse 3, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And of course, this caused Nicodemus a lot of struggles. How in the world could I turn from a caterpillar into a butterfly? This is just far out. You know, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Excuse me. And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." But you have to be born again. That's part of that transformation. That's part of that what God does, and it's a mysterious thing. It's something that I don't fully understand how God makes our hearts. He changes, but the fruits are completely different. It's just completely different. If you take that example that I was using. I don't think Sean minds if I... I know he's not here today, but I don't think he would mind me sharing this. If he would have just tried to reform his life to Dad's wishes and have this little thing that he just really, really would have allowed himself to struggle with. Why? I'm not saying he didn't struggle, okay? He probably did struggle. There was probably a struggle there, maybe more than I even totally realized, but there was a surrender also happening. There was a surrender happening. If he would have just simply reformed his life and tried to make it look all good inside, or good on the outside, there wouldn't have been a beautiful butterfly coming out. There would not have been a beautiful butterfly coming out at all. The same thing is true in your and my life. If we just reform and we don't allow the Spirit of God to take us places, to transform us into His image, it's also not going to produce the life of God, the fruit of God. We must be born again. Transformation. So we have repentance, confession, restitution, and transformation. And part of that transformation, of course, is being born again. We receive God's nature. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it talks about the new nature being partakers of the divine nature. It talks about there in verse 4 and so forth. And also part of that transformation is a yielding of ourself completely to God. It's no longer what I want. You know, I really appreciate the message you preached the other Sunday there, John, about surrender. Full surrender goes right with that. That produces that. The condition is just right for transformation to happen when we are completely surrendered. Yielding ourselves to God. Romans 6 talks about neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Also, we invite the Holy Spirit into our life. I think that's also a part of transformation. And we are a new man in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, my time is running out. A few verses, if you just want to jot, for those of you that are taking notes, a few verses that talk about the new man in Christ Jesus, us, the old things passing away, and the new, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17-32, there it talks about talks a lot about the new life. Let me just read. 17 to 32. If you want to read that sometime, you that'd be a blessing. It says in verse 24 that it says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor." You see, that's the fruit that's coming out. You now, instead of lying, and instead of you finding yourself slip out that lie, you speak truth. You just speak truth to your neighbor. "For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." We don't give any foothold to the devil anymore. That's some of the fruit. You know, and what are we using our time for today, this afternoon? What are you going to use your time for? Are we giving place to the devil? Are we filling our minds with things that destroy rather than build? "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands." Talks about laboring there. "Let no corrupt communication," in verse 29, "proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to edifying. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And then it goes on saying, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And one thing, a verse that comes to my mind just in conclusion that I think is good for us to think about, some of the fruits of a transformed life. This verse just, it sums it up in a very, very, I didn't write it down, and I forget exactly where it's found, but it's a verse that often comes to my mind. I should know its reference, but you can find it. Look for it. It says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable. And the one that often stands out to me is easy to be entreated. It's peaceable, it's pure, it's peaceable. Anyway, easy to be entreated. But it's a humility. There's something about a transformed life that demonstrates humility, you know? I don't do everything perfectly, but when somebody points out those imperfections, it's not a quick defense, you know, there. A transformed life, a transformed heart won't defend itself in that way. Yes, in closing, we can reform many things. And just thinking of this example that I have right in front of us here, we can reform many things, but we can't give life. That's so true. We can reform many things, but we can't give life. In other words, I used those fish liver oil capsules that are filled with fish liver oil, and I painted them, glued them to the stick there, and it, you know, especially from a distance, it kind of looks a little bit like a chrysalis. It kind of has a little bit of that resemblance. But that thing can hang there for years. I mean, maybe. I don't know. How long could it? It's not going to produce any butterflies. We can be the same thing. We can reform our life. We can try to fix things up and have a good moral life, but not experience the life of God. Really. Experience the life of God. We won't experience the life of God if we just simply try to reform our life. We can reform many things, but we can't give life. We can reform our life, but only God can transform us into a life that is pleasing to Him. Only God can transform our life in a way that's pleasing to Him. A transformed life. Just reading those verses again in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's possible, brothers and sisters, it's possible to do that. God wants that. God desires that. God desires that our life would truly be transformed. And the way to get there is turning our hearts to the Lord in repentance, confessing our sins, making things right, and then allowing the Lord to change us. May the Lord bless you.